Sir, what must I do to be saved? Probably the most important question in all of Scripture. Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Understanding how we are saved is the great aim of all of the Bible. Today we're going to consider that on Abounding Grace Radio from 2 Kings chapter 5 in the Old Testament. Here we have the entire plan of salvation, all the themes that we see in the Gospels laid out for us in this Old Testament passage with Naaman the Syrian. Hopefully this is a great blessing to you on Abounding Grace Radio today to understand salvation and the riches of Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. And we're so thankful you take time out of your day to tune in to Abounding Grace Radio. If you can't support us, 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and to many listeners in this nation, in Canada, and even in Africa. So we're thankful in advance for all of your prayerful and your financial support. You can do that right online at agradio.org. The message you are about to hear is part two of a message that we aired yesterday, What Must I Do to Be Saved, from 2 Kings chapter 5 and the account of Naaman the Syrian. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. The text at this point transitions to show us that God is working on the heart of Naaman. God is doing something very powerful in the life of Naaman that he wanted Israel to consider, that he wanted all of us throughout every time we read the scriptures to consider. There's something that had to happen to Naaman. The Lord gives us a glimpse here. The Lord is teaching us really about the entire teaching of Scripture of what must happen to somebody whom he is going to save and deliver, whom he's going to heal, to the place of receiving his gospel. They've got to come here. They've got to follow this path. This is the most plain path laid out before you that all the scriptures teach us about salvation. We read in verse 2 that these Syrians had gone out in raids, and in the process they had brought it back this young slave girl from the land of Israel, and she was a servant to Naaman's wife. She was in Naaman's house. She was a slave. This little girl pulled away from her home. Powerful thought, isn't it? And the slave girl observed Naaman's restless nights. She observed Naaman's real struggle, this little girl. And she makes a beautiful comment, an offhanded comment, but an intentional, beautiful comment to Naaman's wife. If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy. I'll come back to this. What a glowing testimony from a little girl. A believing little girl in the narrative. Naaman hears this, and he runs to the king. The king says, well, then we'll solve this. I don't like those Israelites much anyways. He writes a demand letter, doesn't he? Now listen up. I'm sending Naaman to you. You know who Naaman is. He's going to come with all of his military chariots, and he's going to arrive on your doorstep, King of Israel. Be advised when this letter comes that I've sent Naaman to you that you may heal him of his leprosy. End of it. You better do it. So the healing has come with a demand letter, a threat letter. And now Naaman begins to pack up. Naaman begins to pack up, and he loads himself up with 10 changes of clothing, and he loads himself up with all kinds of gold and silver, and he's going to present a gift to the one who will heal him. Well, not really.
When you have a demand letter, you're coming to pay for this thing, aren't you? The king hears this and falls apart. He wants to quarrel with me. He's seeking a quarrel. And so he says, who am I to make alive? I'm not God. I can't do that. And here is the prophet of Samaria who hears. Elisha hears the king of Israel respond this way. And in verse 8, he responds. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Samaria. I like to stand back from all of this and think about everything that has happened here. This is a real moment. For the next scene that we have presented to us is this great King Naaman with all the military chariots arriving now on Elisha's doorstep, the most powerful commander of the Syrian army everyone feared, comes under direct commission and command from the king of Syria with a threat letter and money to pay for it. It's a great moment. You see the themes sort of all converge here. What is the mentality always of the rich? This is why Jesus gave so much attention to it in the New Testament, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. What is the mentality of the rich? They can buy anything, can't they? It presents a peculiar problem in dealing with salvation, and that's why Jesus wanted to use it. The rich have always been able to buy whatever they want. And because of that, it's really hard to accept God's economy of grace. It just doesn't work. So pride becomes the real focus of this particular narrative. Which again, if I had time to develop the Elijah narratives, I'd show you how much this is all working on Israel and showing certain things to Israel. But I have a specific intention this morning of the supper and aiming for that. I want you to notice how the Lord is working here. What a humble path he has put this man on. It's a remarkable thing. We have letters from king to king. We have Naaman, a top-ranking official in the Syrian government with riches and gold and silver and status and power and wealth. But the answer came from where? A little girl. A little slave girl. A little girl proposes the remedy. That's just how God works, doesn't he? And you see sort of what is unfolding and what he's doing here. Where did the answer come from? A totally unlikely answer came from a totally unlikely, weak, powerless source. But God has so put him in a situation, he has nowhere else to turn. He had no other option but to listen. Does your leprosy have to come out that far for you to get there? This is an important question, isn't it? That finally you listen? Would we ever be willing to stoop down so low enough to listen to a little girl with an apron on? Would we really think that an answer could come from a little girl, the answer of life to our problems? Well, I think you know the answer to that. Everything the Lord does is backwards. Always has been to our thinking and reasoning. Be careful of not listening to the little girl's voice. Be careful of not listening to that little girl's voice. And little girls, speak your faith. Speak your faith. What an encouragement to you. The Lord publishes his way through an unexpected means and ways, situations that will test you. That will test you. You think it's going to come this way, this way, this way, this way. This is how I'm going to get it. This way, this way, this way. And it never happens that way. Ever. Back to Elisha. God could have sent Elijah right to Naaman's door. God could have sent Elisha over to Syria, but nope, Naaman has to make the long journey in his proud chariots, expecting to pay and to get. This is the rich young ruler, of course, running to Jesus. I don't doubt this is how many people come to the Lord today. I've made a sacrifice to be here. I have money in hand. There's a lot of pride in all of us. A lot. We think God does owe us something. It's there. We've put a lot in. We're overall moral. And a lot of accomplishments. Doesn't this say it? Elisha. Meet Elisha. Verse 10. So Elisha sent a messenger to him. Stop. You did what? You come out and greet such a figure, Elisha. You don't do this to the king's most powerful commander of the army. Out comes a messenger. And the messenger begins to speak. And the way is proposed in verse 10. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. Naaman is furious. Verse 11. Absolutely furious. Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? Naaman had expectations, of course, didn't he? If I'm going to make this great trip to Israel, if I'm going to go out to Israel to this prophet, I expect things. He better at least greet me. I have a lot to offer. He came to Elisha thinking that Elisha would heal him just how he had determined he would heal him. This is a faith healer, isn't it? He'll just wave his hand, do a little magic, and it's gone. He's going to come out, and he's going to wave the hand. That's how it's going to go. Here come the chariots. Here come the mighty men. Here comes the presidential escort, all the cabinet. All of them are standing out there. And they park in front of Elijah's lowly house. He doesn't even come out. He doesn't even come out. There's no pomp. There's no greeting. Naaman said, I want to see power. This guy insults me. I've just made this trip all this way, and he wants me to go get down on my knees in that filthy, stinking Jordan River? That's like saying, drive up 150 miles, however long it takes to the Central Valley, and dip in the King's River. It's an insult. This guy doesn't even come out to greet me. Scenario. Answer comes from an unlikely little slave girl. An unlikely solution is given, which requires a total emptying of himself, a total humility of himself, humbling of himself. His pride is totally exposed. His self-esteem is absolutely assaulted. He's deeply enraged by the solution. There ain't no way I'm doing that. I mean, I've got the Abana and the Pharpar. Those are flowing rivers in Damascus. I could have just walked down there if that's all I needed to do. Turns away. Walks away angry. This is quite a moment. And you know this happens every Sunday around the world when the gospel's preached. Happens every Sunday. Where's Jesus today? Well, he didn't get up and come down to greet you, did he? You see him? I don't see him. Here we are. We came. We dressed up. We got here out of our busy lives. Don't expect too much of us, of course. He sends a messenger to you. You're all lepers. Some hear it. Some scoff at it. I can say that from experience. And then there's the problem of those who agree that they got to deal with leprosy because it's working its way out. It's overtaking their life. Sin is really mastering them. They're feeling a lot of guilt. Jesus, of course, has always told us that he came for the not for the righteous, but for sinners. But it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear sometimes things from those whom we esteem the least, from a little girl who invited me to church. And then from a pastor who doesn't give me the respect and attention that I want. Or Jesus himself. Does he know who he's talking to? Does he? I mean, when I first started preaching, I was thinking, I was preaching at 27 years old to people 90 and saying these things. You can't make that up. You just, who would do that, right? You're telling me to go do something that to the rational mind makes no sense. A way was just offered, of course. A way. It's ridiculous, is it? It's the heart of the struggle of the ministry right here. You've got it all right here. We get a typical response before us this morning. Naaman turns away from the one who could heal, and he storms away in anger. He left the sermon and said, I ain't coming back to that. Man made me mad. But God's not done. All of a sudden, here come other servants. You see, this is how it works, doesn't it? There's always somebody calling you back. There's always somebody he sends. There's always servants. There's another one. There's another one. Look at all the servants in your life trying to lead you back when you go astray. Father, my Father, our Father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? In other words, yeah, I read the 10 words this morning. If the prophet had told you to go keep Israel's law, would you not have tried it? If the prophet had told you to go love the Lord their God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, would you have tried it? I mean, give us something that gives us some kind of dignity back in this. Something that doesn't require me to stretch out hands. Are you kidding? And become a beggar. I mean, that at least makes sense to me. Give me something. I've got hands. I've got feet. I've got strength. Tell me. If he would have told you to just try to do something, you would have tried it. But you know what he's saying to you? All he's saying is, wash and be clean. That's all he's saying. He just told you, New Testament, repent and be baptized. Turn away from yourself, put your knee on the ground, and receive. That's all he said. Let him wet you. Let him wash you. This is Pentecost. It was all about. And this is our message today. I'm saying come to Jesus and all the great other ways that you think will promise salvation and everywhere else. I am boldly saying today, and it may offend somebody, all of it is out of the pit of hell. None of it will deliver you. All other ways that promise you whatever in this life, all other religions that promise you another way, every other god, every other false god, every other religion is wrong. That's Elisha. I can go to the far part. But I point you today to Bethlehem. I point you to the least of all the cities. I tell you that out of there came one not in a king's palace, but in a stable. I say from there came from despised Nazareth, one who would ride on a donkey. And that man was lifted up first not to heaven, but to a cross. And I'm pointing to you to something that's absolutely foolish to this world, who will never accept it. That's what I'm pointing you to. And people today are just as insulted by that solution as ever, ever. They don't take it seriously at all. And we say the same thing. You're a leper. You're under the wrath of God because of sin. And here's the simple message. Here's the simple answer. Nope. I'm going to go to heaven my way. I'll get there. I'll get there. Everyone thinks they're going to heaven. I'm going to get there. I'll ride first class, but I'll get there. He'll wave his hand. Here's how it's going to go. He's going to give me ex opere operato, right? In other words, what that means is just by the hand of the pastor then. There's that problem. And Jesus says through his messenger, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to me. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You don't have to pay anything for it. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you." See, if Naaman will go down to this Jordan, it's going to require faith, doesn't it? That's it. He's going to have to believe. Where are you today? Well, verse 14 encourages you. I'm ready to come to the supper. So he went down, and notice, he humbled himself. He kneeled in that Jordan and dipped seven times according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. New Testament theme, by the way. You got to become like a little child. And he returned to the man of God, and he stood before him and noticed the entire change in attitude and heart. This man is humbled now. I know there's no other God in all the earth except in Israel. Now I know. And I want my whole life now to be a worshiping life. I'm concerned that I got to go back to this country and bow in the temple of Ramon, but I won't. I have no heart in that. Let me take earth that I may worship the Lord. This is the response of thanksgiving. He is so thankful now. He's not buying anything. He wants to give everything back. I close with this thought this morning. I could go on, but I'll stop so he can come to the table. But we come to the table, and you know, nothing real glorious seems to be set in front of you this morning. You know what's being offered to you? The same thing. Come, dip in the Jordan. Come to Jesus. Eat what I have for you. Jesus chided the Jews over Naaman. After they had rejected and wouldn't listen and stormed out mad from him, he said, "There were many lepers in Israel, but none of them was healed except Naaman the Syrian." He was saying, you need to consider how that Gentile was healed. The same is true for you. How beautiful the message of salvation is to us this morning, that a natural man would never receive because it's the most insulting thing in the world. But now you understand love and grace, I hope. Because when we look at Naaman, ultimately the story is what Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." This is what sovereign grace brings. This is what his power brings about in you. He pursued you. He washes you. He saves you. He refreshes you in this fountain and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. when you come to His Son. That same message was given to you today. May we always respond then, if we have come to this fountain, and all who believe should come this morning and be refreshed in this love of the Lord and respond by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.